It's Monday, April 14th. I'm Jane Costin, and this is What A Day, the show that doesn't know if there are or aren't tariffs on electronics coming from China. As far as I'm concerned, they are Schrodinger's tariffs. They are there, and they are also not there, which is a great way to build an economic policy in my book. On today's show, the Social Security Administration lists immigrants as dead to push them out of the country. And police are investigating an arson at the home of Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. But let's start with this past weekend. Congress is out of session this week. Despite everything going on in Washington, nothing can get in the way of spring break, baby. Time to get absolutely crazy in Iowa's 2nd District. Many Democrats will be holding town hall events, particularly in GOP districts. One example: as Politico reported on Thursday, Democrats will hold a town hall in the North Carolina district of National Republican Congressional Committee Chair Richard Hudson, the representative who told Republicans to stop holding in-person town hall events back in early March. But as we've mentioned on the show before, Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders and New York Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are doing something a little different. On their Fighting Oligarchy tour, the pair is barnstorming America to bring together local Democrats, union representatives, and others to stand in opposition to the Trump administration. In Los Angeles on Saturday, the two brought together more than 34,000 people in Gloria Molina Grand Park. I went with What A Day producer Johanna Case to find out what inspired so many people to attend.
You know, it's funny. Just yesterday, our good friend Elon Musk Mr. Musk sent out a tweet, and in essence, he said, you know, Bernie Sanders has been talking about the growth of oligarchy year after year after year. Well, Elon, you're damn right. That's what I've been talking about. The difference is I'm no longer talking about how we're moving to oligarchy. I'm talking about how we are living today in an oligarchic form of society.
I talked to young people, middle-aged people, senior citizens, families, friends, and a dog named Ava. And what seemed to unite people was a desire to show solidarity with one another and reject Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk.
I want to see what the fight behind us. I want to galvanize all of us to be able to fight all together in solidarity with every nationality, every color, every being in this, you know, United States of America.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like, I want to fight against that stereotype where, like, young people don't really, like, show up as much. And I just want to show up locally for, like, what I believe in.
Because he's a fucking asshole.
It's so cheesy, but, like, this one fighting.
He's trying to take away all the rights that we got 50 years ago. I'm 53 years old, and I am seeing the rights that I have always enjoyed in this country go away for my niece. My niece, as a woman, is losing her rights.
I don't know what's going to happen to my country, because I grew up in a time where the only person I knew in politics was Donald Trump.
That was Terry, Audrey, and Jen, and her niece Jocelyn. When I asked some folks, like Hector Ruiz, a third-grade teacher from Orange County, what they wanted to hear from Democrats, they largely said they didn't really want to hear anything. They wanted to see some action.
I want the Democrats to start showing a lot more fight than they've been showing. They haven't been. I mean, I'm tired of getting the text messages to rush $5. The $5 isn't going to cut it. I mean, if you're going to stand outside the Treasury Department and wonder why there's a single little nerdy guy that's preventing you from coming in, why aren't you rushing this? Why aren't Democratic senators, why aren't representatives doing what AOC and Bernie are doing and going around and actually showing some fight? It's falling upon us, unfortunately.
Some of the people I talked to had specific policies they wanted to hear more about from Democrats. But again, they also just wanted to hear more fight. I spoke with some younger folks. Here's Trent from Pasadena, who came along with friends Satara and Audrey, who we heard from earlier, and who had a very specific policy he wanted to hear more about.
I mean, I really like a lot of what Bernie supports, you know, like stopping Citizens United or, like, you know, I guess overturning Citizens United, taking a lot of money out of, like, private money out of politics.
And Lily of Simi Valley also came with friends.
I definitely want to hear a lot of support for trans rights and trans issues, because that's something that even Democratic progressive candidates haven't been able to kind of deliver on and haven't.
They've been fucking up.
They've been fucking up a lot.
And I spoke with Glory. She's from Long Beach and said she's just trying to figure out how to persist when it feels like the rights of immigrants, women, and people of color are being scaled back very quickly. What do you want to see Democrats prioritize right now? I mean, because there's so much going on. Like, that whole flood the zone with shit thing is real. But what do you want to see Democrats prioritize?
I would like for more, I guess, actual fighting and legislation. Like, Cory Booker just did 25 hours of a similar filibuster, not exactly filibuster, but more things like that, like actually fighting to fight against some of these legislations and rules that are being written up in Congress and things like that, and actually trying to fight fire with fire, because what usually happens is letting things happen and then things get worse. So now it's really time to start fighting back.
Here's Jen again. She was there with her niece, Jocelyn, who voted for Vice President Kamala Harris in her very first presidential election last year.
I don't care if you have to cross the aisle, but I don't want them to give up on Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare and all the stuff that is important for the American people. Not the 1%, but the American people. I want them to have a plan, whether it is being a little centrist or being more left, but we need to make it good for all. It's not good for some. It needs to be good for all. And that's what I want to hear.
It's April. This administration only started in January. I know I'm exhausted, and I had to ask how the people at the Fighting Oligarchy rally were making sure they could keep pushing back for 4 years. Here's Kenna of Santa Monica, who is trying to find balance and support in this moment.
Instead of just doom scrolling, I took out my brother and some friends out here, and I'm ready to have some fun and be ready as a community. So it's just continuing on with that. Got to fill your own cup and got to fill your own before other people's. So definitely some meditation maybe too and work it out.
And here's third grade teacher Hector again, talking about how he tries to explain what's happening to his students, even tariffs.
I was trying to explain to my kids how that 10% can work its way up, you know, to that. They're spending a lot more money on a washing machine, for example, that might be made overseas than they would normally be doing. And while I'm in a position now because I've taught long enough to earn a decent wage, a lot of my kids' parents aren't. So having to pay $150 more, for example, for a washing machine doesn't help them. And so trying to explain to them, trying to clear it to them, apologizing to them as an adult for having screwed up their future so badly, I do that on a regular basis. So I think that kind of helps me work through a lot of this as well.
And here's Glory again.
I think community is the biggest part, having people around you who are like-minded and being able to go to those people and be like, you know what, this really sucks. And having that moment of like, you know what, I don't think I can do it, but if we're all together in this, we can keep fighting forward.
I know it's cliche or cringe or whatever to talk about something being inspiring right now, but seriously, genuinely, totally unironically, the Fighting Oligarchy tour made me feel actually inspired. I met so many different kinds of people. Maybe it was because of the location, but the diversity of age, race, gender, beliefs was off the charts. And all of them were united in support of something better than what we have right now and wanted to join others in showing just how big that support really is. And also, there is a lot of Bernie merch out there, merch the likes of which I had no idea existed. We'll get to more of the news in a moment, but if you like the show, make sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and check out today's show on YouTube to see all the amazing people we met at the Bernie rally and Ava the dog. And share with your friends. More to come after some ads. What a Day is brought to you by ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol. Let's face it. After a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day the way I used to when I was 22 and didn't have a couch. I used to have to make a choice. I could either have a great night or a great next day. That is, until I found pre-alcohol. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by a PhD scientist to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have pre-alcohol before drinks, I do notice a difference the next day, Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on working out without worry. Spring is here, and that means more opportunities to celebrate warmer weather. Before drinks on the patio, that tropical vacation, or your best friend's wedding, don't forget ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great the next day. Go to ZBiotics.com/WAD to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code WAD at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/WAD and use the code WAD at checkout for 15% off.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Here's what else we're following today.
Headlines.
They're going to have a special focus type of tariff to make sure that those products get reshored.
President Trump's tariff chaos somehow got even more chaotic, or at least more confusing on Sunday. Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick said electronics imported from other countries actually will face tariffs, even though the administration said just days ago that they won't. This all started Friday when Customs and Border Protection declared smartphones, computers, and other foreign-made electronics exempt from Trump's reciprocal tariffs. This was great news for tech giants like Apple because they make the majority of their products in China. You know, the country that Trump hit with tariffs that top out at 145%. Here's what Lutnick told ABC's This Week about how semiconductors are going to be taxed.
Those products are going to be part of the semiconductor sectoral tariffs, which are coming.
So they are getting hit with tariffs, but like separate ones? And they're coming in 2 months unless they change their minds? Are we in a situationship with tariffs? In the midst of all of this, China announced Sunday that it's suspending some exports, including rare earth minerals and magnets. These are important materials for, of all things, fighter jets, cars, electronics, and, phones. All the things Trump wants to be made here. We're recording this show on Sunday night. Surely nothing about the situation will change by the time you listen to it Monday morning.
We experienced an attack not just on our family, but on the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania here at the governor's residence.
The governor of Pennsylvania and his family had to evacuate the governor's mansion early Sunday morning after a fire swept through part of the residence. Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro said police banged on his door in Harrisburg at 2 a.m. and led them to safety. State police say no one was hurt. Dauphin County District Attorney Francis Chardo said a man was arrested for suspected arson.
This is not of record yet, but the charges will include attempted murder, terrorism, aggravated arson, and aggravated assault against an enumerated person. These are all very serious charges. As with any charges, the defendant is presumed innocent.
Police said the man gained access to the home by hopping over a fence around the property. They say he also had homemade incendiary devices. The alleged attack happened on the first night of Passover, a major Jewish holiday. Shapiro had posted a photo Saturday celebrating Passover with his family's dinner table set for Seder. He said during the press conference that he's not fearful.
I refuse to let anyone who had evil intentions like that stop me from doing the work that I love, stop me from being a leader of this Commonwealth and looking out for all Pennsylvanians.
Shapiro also said he's grateful for the first responders who kept his family safe. An immigration judge ruled Friday that the Trump administration can deport Mahmoud Khalil, the Columbia University grad student detained last month over his involvement in pro-Palestinian campus protests. Khalil was born in Syria and is of Palestinian descent. He's a legal permanent resident of the United States. He helped organize the pro-Palestinian encampment at Columbia last year. Immigration authorities arrested Khalil and revoked his green card last month. The White House deemed his activities, quote, pro-Hamas. Khalil's lawyers argue that the First Amendment protects his activism, but an immigration judge sided with the White House Friday, citing an undated memo signed by Secretary of State Marco Rubio. The only evidence the administration offered was a whopping 2 pages long. The memo doesn't accuse Khalil of any crime, but claims his beliefs are a threat to national security, and that his presence in the U.S. compromises the country's, quote, policy to combat anti-Semitism. Khalil's attorneys have until April 23rd to appeal the decision. The Trump administration is working to effectively cancel the Social Security numbers of more than 6,000 living immigrants. It's basically an effort to classify them as dead, at least financially. That's according to multiple outlets. The Associated Press reports that the administration transferred the immigrants' Social Security numbers to a database known as the Death Master File. It had been used to keep track of dead people who should no longer be receiving benefits, but why would the administration add these very alive people to a death database? The New York Times cites documents last week that show the administration had revoked these immigrants' legal status. A Trump official said the initial immigrants affected were identified as having been suspected terrorists or having FBI criminal records. There have been no reports of the White House providing evidence of this claim. The White House says, quote, by removing the monetary incentive for illegal aliens to come and stay, we will encourage them to self-deport. Taking away someone's Social Security number makes it, among other things, nearly impossible to get a legal job and much harder to use credit cards. In some cases, it can even make it difficult to enroll children in school. And that's the news. Before we go, in case you missed it, the Crooked Store is having a why the F not sale, so select t-shirts are 25% off for a limited time. It's the perfect time to grab a piece that expresses what you care about, like a Don't Mess with Immigrants shirt or a Touch Grass tee for 25% off. Wear it to a protest, a volunteer event for a local election, or just your everyday life as a reminder of what you're fighting for. This sale ends today, so head to crooked.com/store to shop now. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, shudder in horror at the fact that I think ESPN personality Stephen A. Smith might really run for president, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, and not just about how seriously, I think he's really going to do it. And we are going to have to watch an entire presidential campaign centered around a guy who spends 3 hours a day discussing Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, like me. What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and finally, a presidential debate over LeBron James's legacy. Just what we all wanted. What a Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producers are Raven Yamamoto and Emily Four. Our producer is Michelle Alloy. We had production help today from Johanna Case, Joseph Dutra, Greg Walters, and Julia Clare. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison, and our executive producer is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.